powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're working on verses 19 through 22 here in chapter 6. And we're going to wrap this chapter up, maybe a short class, I don't know, so we can launch into chapter 7 Sunday. Anyway, let's take the usual time to check ourselves and be sure that we are concentrating, ready to concentrate on the presentation of the information at hand. After all, this is the God-breathed Word of God that He has put down for us to be able to acclimate to His plan and avoid those things which drag believers down spiritually. Let us pray. Once again, Father, we are here under the imperative to assemble ourselves together, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And we definitely see the day approaching. And we thank You that You provide us with this encouragement and comfort in the midst of these challenging and perilous times. Be with us in our study, in Christ's name. Amen. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. All right, I tried to explain that. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, a reference to their pre-salvation lifestyle being ruled by the STA 24/7. Now, obviously, people are different, but the fact is that they were continually being influenced by these negative type things. So now, salvation, adjustment, and beyond. Now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. The human body is made up of members, various members, that are to coordinate together and accomplish, in this case, righteousness, as we learn what we are to do and to be engaged in, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of the sin nature, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. You can see in this the way he has put this together with the word now, but now, having been freed from the sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. All right, last time, we'll pick up with point 27 on page 14 of your notes. The things of which we are now ashamed refers to various STA excesses that now are rightly looked down upon due to the establishment of divine norms and standards for human conduct. 28. As positive believers, we are embarrassed by the conduct we witness in the cosmos, people's approach to things. 29. The lifestyle, the negative, and the stupid are repugnant to the believer committed to the maturity adjustment, even if the lifestyle is one of success and achievement. The outcome of the search for happiness, FSH, frantic search for happiness, via wealth, pleasure, and fame, is death. Now, in the context here, it refers to spiritual death, which is the result of the imputation of Adam's original sin, constituting all of us sinners, and then we made our own contribution in sins. And this spiritual death, which is the legacy of all humanity born into the world with a sin nature, if it is perpetuated to the point of physical death, then the judgment of eternal torment follows upon the soul and the body. The unbeliever faces eternity with his past freedoms, so-called, and achievements mocking him. Ecclesiastes 9:3b, the hearts of the Son of Man are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead. See, this is designed, as when we studied Ecclesiastes, this is designed as a big check again, and is very helpful to the believer to not, not get caught up in this frantic search for happiness, this vanity that has caught so many people running around doing this, doing that, with no real consideration of the end game. When you become a believer and you are with doctrine and see what God has for you beyond this life, then these things begin to lose their luster. Not automatically. And by this, I don't mean some extreme austere existence. I mean everything that you do, even in pleasure and acquisitions and things of this nature, all should be done within a context that I'm not going to let this violate MPR, getting to Bible class and being there. I'm just not going to do it. So that if you balance these things out, the rest of this stuff is a dead end for the believer, even who is basing his or her happiness on whatever it is that the cosmos is wrapped up in. I mean, I see it all the time, maybe just because of my time in grade and other factors. I see it all the time, and I just, shake my head and think, this, it's like the old, for most of you, never heard of it, or a lot of you, the old Peggy Lee song, where it's kind of a downer song, and she goes through her life, her home burns as a little girl, and this and that, and she, the refrain in the song, is this all there is? Is this it? Some people end their lives by suicide. It didn't add up to anything. They're seeing the dead end. But turn to God? No. That's why people are asking, what are you doing with this and that, all the rest of it? Well, what I'm doing is what I've been doing, and I'm going to continue to do it because I'm after something that's way, way, way beyond anything anybody's ever achieved here on this earth. And accomplished, only to wind up in a grave, and worse, their souls in hell for most. I often wonder that this is once they die, this is all they got to think about. Well, you had this, you had that. Maybe even you had a gospel presentation somewhere along the line, and you blew that off. Which doesn't take any time and doesn't cost you a penny. The only thing it costs you is your pride. At the very least, he or she could have taken a few seconds to make the salvation adjustment. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the simple answer to a straightforward question presented to Paul by a warden in the prison in Philippi. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So a similar situation, at the very least, he or she could have taken a few moments to make the salvation adjustment and sidestep the outcome of those things, quote unquote. 34, a similar situation faces the believer who fails to make the most of their salvation by not committing themselves to the maturity adjustment and hanging in there to the end. This is a part of, legitimately, a part of the motivation not to throw your confidence away, as we have witnessed so many do. This brings us to verse 22, using the same term, benefit karpos. But now, having been freed from the sin nature, because you can't build up this eternal rewards account, make progress, if you're not applying Bible doctrine. That's that simple. And you have to be set free from the sin nature, and after salvation, reestablishing fellowship is the key. An enslaved to God. Yes, it is an enslavement. But it is an enlightened and blessed one, enslaved to God. You derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. That is phase two sanctification, because he's talking to people who already have positional sanctification. This is experiential sanctification, which is intake and application of the word and growth along the line. And the outcome, eternal life. The eternal life factor. So this brings us to 22, using the same verb benefit, karpos, fruit. Having been freed refers to our emancipation from the rule of the STA. We also are no longer spiritually connected to the God of this world. He is no longer our spiritual father. So we've been set free, we've been emancipated from the tyranny and the rule of our own STAs and the eternal consequences of that enslavement. Our emancipation results in a new enslavement, if and only if we make progress to the maturity adjustment. Finishing one's course produces the maximum benefit. Taking that word fruit and using it in a figurative or metaphorical sense. Enslavement to God has as its result phase two, sanctification. Resulting in sanctification, as in verse 19. For those, again, who stick with the truth to the end, no matter what you are asked by God to go through. And some believers, obviously, a lot of believers have to go through some real extreme difficulties. We didn't study these saints in the Bible, and it was all just a walk in the park. They suffered, you start filling in the name. They suffered loss of friends, loss of negative volition in family members, various kinds of things befell them. And, of course, one of the classic examples of that always is the patriarch Joseph. He could have just said, "What is that? This isn't worth it." He is abused by the very people, of all people, that should have been supportive of him. And they turned on him. His blood brothers raised up in an identical environment. And he figured it out and was on top of it at an early age. It took them quite a while. That they had to get older. And when they got to Egypt, they started getting their act together. But Joseph went through all of that, and there's also blessings in time. And they do not depend on anything you do, but stick with the truth, apply Bible doctrine, and let God open those doors. You don't really have to pursue anything but God and His plan. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. It's a promise. And for some of us, we have been blessed in certain ways above and beyond. But the temporal blessings must fit the niche that you're in. They must be appropriate to your niche. Just dumping money on people and things like that, that's not gonna do anything but wreck a lot of people. So if you're about to make any decisions that are counterproductive to this whole thing, you need to put the brakes on. We don't have any time left to mess around. For younger people to sow their wild oats, it's called youthful lust. And it's a little different program similar sins, but youthful lusts. Got to have it all now, chasing this, chasing that, because you got extra money or you got whatever it is, some opportunity. God pursues us with things. Be sure that any move you're making of any significance is going to be compatible with this and with where we're at on the timeline. Because you'll be embarrassed. You won't like it. And you'll think, mentally you will probably kick yourself with a bema. I was so close. I was right there. I was in the presence of it all. And I let this? That's what unbelievers and negative volition do. They let that throw them off track? I know I sound like a broken record sometimes, but that's the way it is. It's just enslavement to God has as its result phase two sanctification. The believers who fail the grace of God for phase two will end up with varying degrees of benefit. Any SG3 earned at any time by anybody, they'll get a reward for that. God is faithful, even if they end up a reversionist. Note the parallel of extreme opposites. The outcome is death. The outcome, eternal life. The eternal life niche. And as I think all the time, God's going to show us. You think certain situations down here are wonderful and so forth? You haven't seen anything. He's saving the best for last, forever, in the eternal life niche. So for those of you who are hanging in there applying Bible doctrine, you will reap eternal life. It'll be a journey. I know we can't wrap our heads around it because you have to be there. People can go somewhere and come back and tell you what a wonderful time they had and what all the sights they saw and experiences they had and kind of put you in it because you have some kind of frame of reference. But this is something, the things of what is to come, we just get a taste of it. At our very best with all the knowledge of the Word of God. So every day you get up, this isn't going to be the day that I'm going to fail the grace of God. I may have a bad day. I may have an STA riddle day. I may get caught up in this and that. But I am, if there's one thing, I am not going to turn my back on Bible doctrine because so-and-so did, because this happened. So if you're out there listening, and we have at least one believer confined to a hospital, Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. We're here for you and pray for you, and anything you guys need, let us know. And I might add that I am pleased with the applications of those of you who have stayed put. You didn't just stay put. God used you, is using you to make applications around here, and we are carrying on. Yes, our numbers are significantly fewer, but the people that are here in general, they're making applications. And we're keeping this place looking nice, fixed up, yard, buildings, prep school, finances, all the other things that we have to do. We're getting I'm bragging on you because you are making application. And that's what you need to ask yourself. God is, what can I do to make, if there's anything, to fit in with the body as it now exists and any applications I can make? God will reveal it to you. And that's not up to me to determine. That's up between you and God. What can I do as we press on? Because I want to see the end game. And that's what I plan to do. There are potential temporal advantages as well to those under the enslavement to righteousness. Temporal advantages. I can't tell you all the ways God has blessed me in this life as a pastor teacher through the years. Whenever we've had these problems in the church with a bunch of people bailing, there were those people right there that stepped up and filled the slot. Yeah, it was a little... it was a little rough going a little bit. But it tells me it it's God's in control. So there are potential advantages to those under enslavement to righteousness. Proverbs 3. And you know, it isn't all money. It isn't all the so-called American dream, which is turning into the American nightmare. No, really, it is. I mean, in my lifetime, what I've seen, what I've witnessed, and now what I'm looking at in this country, that's another motivation to want to be out of here. Proverbs 3. And of course, these is Solomon teaching his son. My son, do not forget my teaching. See, that's an old exhortation, isn't it? Don't forget what you've been hearing. It didn't change. Nothing changed. Oh, we've added a doctrine. We've added the doctrine of biblical cosmology. A big doctrine. Yes, but do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. The neck in Scripture is a picture of volition. You know, the stiff neck person. Around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. Life will not be a pain and a constant problem and a difficulty if you do this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body. There he brings in the health aspect. Doesn't mean you won't have a health test. And refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth. Doctrine of giving. And from the first of your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, you're not going to be perfect. That brings us to 11. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Wisdom here is personified as the idyllic female. For her profit is better than the profit of silver. Doctrine's better than silver. And her gain better than fine gold. If it was God's plan for a believer to have an abundance, it'll work out. There's a formula. You stick with doctrine. Do what God tells you to. Don't look, well, where can I make the most money? Where I can get ahead? All this, like people are out here doing. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Nothing. Fill in the blank. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. And so I'm going to leave that at this. It's just to touch on it. Rewards will vary among believers based on applications and endurance to the end. All right, for our final verse in this chapter, the eternal consequences of the two states. For the wages of sin is death. Wages. Aposneon, wages, with a definite article. The word sin has the definite article. For the wages of sin is death, thanatos. But the free gift, charisma, gift, the free gift of God is eternal life, the eternal life factor in positional sanctification, Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, this verse constitutes a summation of the preceding. 2. This verse is not as simple as it might appear at first reading. The term sin could mean Adam's original sin, the indwelling STA, sinful behavior, or the unpardonable sin. The term death could mean physical death, spiritual death, or eternal death. Since spiritual death is not the result of personal sins, is it? No. Spiritual death is the result of getting tagged with Adam's original sin. So, since spiritual death is not the result of personal sins, but the imputation of Adam's original sin, then death here is taken as eternal separation from God, designated the second death. The second death of Revelation 2:11, 20 verse 6, 14, 21, and 8. In Revelation 2:11, there to that church, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes, that's the salvation adjustment. See it in 1 John, I believe, 5:4, where it's explicitly stated that is. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. The overcomer is a believer. Chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. In 20, and then verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death is the final disposition of the unbeliever, where both the soul and the body is in the lake of fire. That's the second death. And in 21:8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers, the occult, and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So here in our, since spiritual death is not the result of personal sins, but the imputation of Adam's original sin, then death here is taken as eternal separation from God, designated the second death. 6. This fits well with the contrast with eternal life in verse 23b. Sin is taken as the sin which will be charged to all who die in a state of unbelief. What sin is that? As you know, it's called, among other things, the eternal sin, the unforgivable sin, is rejection of Christ in time, called under our general doctrine, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Rejection of a gospel hearing on the part of an unsaved person and carrying that rejection to the grave results in the unpardonable sin. As we saw, it is noted in Psalm 32:2, how blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. 10. Those who rely on human works for salvation receive wages or payback. The wages. And the contrast is the free gift, which requires no works, but is based strictly on God's grace, as per our verse 5, chapter 5, 15 and 16. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, spiritual death, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. That gift is ours as part of the salvation package via positional sanctification. The contrast between the two situations could not be more extreme. All right, get out of here before you get soaked. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.